Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null. I don't love you anymore.
It's just a shame. Hi, I'm Gary Null, and I'd like to welcome you to our program. Today, instead of doing our normal health and nutrition introduction, I'm going to share some insights based upon my entire career in studying anti-aging medicine. I was research fellow at the Institute of Applied Biology in its nutrition and anti-aging department. And there I was able to conduct a lot of experiments. Across the street was Trafalgar Hospital. And there I was able to help patients who were frequently very ill and sometimes in stage to improve their state of health and well-being based upon the information I developed at the Institute and as well as in my own clinical practice. I'll give you a formula. Now, the formula will vary depending upon the uniqueness of your own life, but this should give you a pretty good idea how long you should be able to live. I'm going to give you the different elements and how they can add or take away years. So it's like a mathematical formula. On one side of a piece of paper, you put down add years. On the other part, take away years. Now, if the average life expectancy is for men is 78.1 years and for women it's 81 years, those are not good figures. The longest lived people in the world were not the Japanese, but now it's the Spanish. And then you have people on the island of Crete. You have people living on the island of Formosa in Okinawa who are living longer lives, much longer lives. But more importantly, the average American, by the time they reach 60, they have multiple illnesses. In fact, more than 4 billion, that's with a B, billion prescriptions were given out in just one recent year in the United States. That averages over 16 different, we're talking about different prescriptions. That's not the amount of pills. That's just prescriptions for every man, woman, and child. Now, I don't get any prescriptions. I don't have any medicines. So someone's got my medicines. It's like the average amount of sugar is about 140 pounds, but I'm not eating any processed sugar. So someone's eating my sugar. So the people who are really eating sugar are generally eating a lot more sugar than the national average. So the people who are actually taking these medications are taking a lot more than what we are led to believe. And that does not include over-the-counter prescriptions that also have deadly effects. So we're looking at a pill for every problem, a medication, and it shouldn't be that way. So we're going to go down a list now. Please make notes of this. And I posted this on our website, prn.fm, so you can take your time and go through it. For example, I took a 5-year period of my life, and I traveled around the world, coming back and forth to the United States. And during these travels, I had a chance to ask thousands of people, cumulatively, about their choices in life, why they were living a longer life, how they were dealing with issues. And then I wanted to compare that with the issues that I grew up with. I grew up in a small community, Parkersburg, West Virginia, about 40,000 people total. And I had a chance to learn from these people some very important and good lessons in life. But I also saw things they were doing that made no sense to me. They didn't exercise after high school or college. They thought it was no longer necessary. They almost universally were overweight by the age of 40. They thought it was normal. It was normal to have sugar, what they called sugar diabetes, which is just diabetes. They also thought it was normal that by the time you reached 50 years of age, you were already a senior citizen at 50 when I was growing up, and therefore you should take it easy. So you were not expected to exercise or to have a proper weight when you were 40 to death. In fact, if you lived to be 60 and died, they consider that, well, that's a long life. Now we see that it's wrong. It was a very short life. And so these are the lessons I grew up with. Everyone ate meat frequently 3 times a day because it was expected. You had dairy. Every meal had dairy, and you had some form of refined carbohydrates, generally white flour, white potatoes, and very little fruits and vegetables. And those were only in season. Or if you bought them from a grocery store, the fruits were always in a heavy, sugary syrup, and the vegetables were tasteless and had a lot of salt as preservative. We weren't healthy. As a kid, you could be healthy because you were out running and playing, and that was good, but not as adults. So I brought all that information with me to New York, and then I went around the world. And I remember, I'll give you a good example. I was in Italy, in the Italian Alps, which is not far from some of the major cities. And there were two buddies. One's a medical doctor, and the other is a close running buddy. They were both native Italians, and plus my own brothers. All of us went on this trip. And it was a rather long trip, but I wanted to see why people living in the country are living longer lives than those in the suburbs of the cities. And this is just one example, but it typifies my experience. I would run. I was a marathon runner, still am, but I ran marathons. And it was this summertime. It was August. Beautiful weather. So I get in my running outfit, and they were in a Jeep, and they would drive behind me, and I'd run up these country roads. And we'd come to a hamlet, generally anywhere from 6 to 10 houses. And then you drive another mile, you're at a different hamlet. And this is the way it went for over 100 miles. And we stopped at a house, mainly because they all smelt the bread, fresh baked bread sitting on a Dutch door. The Dutch doors were half the door swings open, and then there's a shelf, and that's where they would put things to cool, like bread or pies or cakes, etc. And I could smell the bread, too. And one of my buddies stopped and went over to see if the bread was for sale. And the woman says, no, but I'll give it to you. So she invited us in, and there was this big family. And they said that I'd be willing to help them, since I was an organic farmer and a gardener. I would help them with whatever work they needed done if they, in turn, at some point during the day, would give us the benefit of me asking them questions about their lifestyle. They agreed to that. Now, I'm used to flat farmland. This was all up and down hills. And the legs, the thighs from walking up and down the hill were just massive, very strong people. And they would have this like apron that would have big, long pockets in it. So as they're walking up the hill, bent over, picking tomatoes or whatever they're picking, they go in there, and then one of the younger kids come and take that and pour it in a basket, and they'd continue on. I'd never seen farming like this, and I'd never seen so many different herbs and like 20 different types of tomatoes. So finally it became time for lunch. The house that we were at was 700 years old, and it had that wonderful old smell to it, the old wood. The family was a large family. At one end of this long table was the 93 and 91-year-old husband and wife. And then beside them was their children, who were in their 70s, their children, who were in their 50s, and their children, who were in their 30s. I mean, you had like four generations at one table. And it took a long time for them to prepare food, and it was really delicious, and everything was fresh. They didn't have things out of cans, but they had one room filled with every kind of olive and tomato and dried pepper and herbs. I'd never seen anything like that before. One wall had over 100 different types of olives on it. And here's what they said when I asked them about stress and stress-related illnesses. They said, we don't have it. Why not? Well, because whatever issues we have to deal with, we sit at the table and we deal with it. You know, we talk openly and honestly, and we're not unaware of the world outside, but we don't waste our time with it. But our children that leave here and go to work in the other cities like Florence or Rome, they're very stressed. and they have the illnesses to show it. So when they come back here in August, by the way, in Italy and France, they take the whole month of August off. They said, when you get there, talk to them. So they gave us some numbers to contact. So anyhow, we had a wonderful day. I learned so much. And the older you become, the more important you are to that family. You're never lonely. You don't have depression. You don't have anxiety. They don't take everything so seriously. There's lots of laughter. They're physical. They're out working from sunup to sunset. They eat late at night around 9 o'clock, and they eat about an hour and a half a day, and they take a siesta. They don't work. They relax. There's lots of love shared. And I was so impressed with what I saw. But it wasn't a unique experience. It was almost every situation was the same. There was always a bowl of fruit on the table, and they finished their meal not with cake or ice cream or pie a la mode, but with fruit. And that particular day, there were delicious peaches. And I remember picking up the peach, and it felt very heavy. And he said, he looked at me, and I'm weighing the peach in my hand, and he said, the way you pick a peach here is you wait till the sun creates all the natural sugars, and those start to pull at the bottom, same with the tomato. So you should be able to put your hand underneath a peach, push it up, and it drops right down. If it does, then it's ready. He said, otherwise, if you pull a peach off a tree or any fruit before it's completely ripe, it won't taste right. In any case, I knew that from having a farm, that we pick our fruits and vegetables too soon. They haven't fully matured through photosynthesis, so they don't have that wonderful flavor that comes from the enzymes from letting it be sun vine ripened. And when I came back after that trip, I compiled all my notes from all my trips all over the world, from Jamaica and Trinidad and Barbados and Caracas and Cuba and everywhere on that I've traveled in the world, and I came to this decision. So listen up. This is how it works. If you eat a perfect diet, which is a plant-based organic diet with lots of fruits and vegetables, nuts and seeds, and tubers like rutabaga and parsnips and turnips, and if you have whole grains, you know, quinoa and spelt and millet, brown rice, if you have lots of beans, legumes, and pulses, like chickpeas and black-eyed peas and lentils, if you have lots of juices, fresh-made, then the best you could get on a scale of 1 to 100 is 15. That's if you're doing it right. If you exercise every day, and your exercise is about an hour long, and at least 5 minutes of that exercise is in very intense, and then if you also do resistance exercises, that's about a 15 too. It's equal to the diet. If you engage in de-stressing exercises, including mindful meditation or yoga, joyful reading or listening to music that relaxes you, sitting in nature and just appreciating the environment you're in, mindful of it, that's 15% stress reduction. If you take really good supplementation, like coenzyme Q10 and vitamin E and vitamin C and quercetin and pycnogenol, calcium, magnesium, and zinc, and NAD, and the omega-3 fatty acids and vitamin D, you're at about 5%. So if you add all this up, you're 50%. Now that's if you're doing it right. Very few people do it right. But then how is it that if people are doing all that right, they're still not living a longer life? And that's because the 50% that we never discussed in our society that I found was really the key. And that was meaningful purpose in life and a quality of meaning in how you're living it. Meaning a career that you enjoy, that excites you, that stimulates your creative process, a family that you can be with and be happy with, friends that you can spend quality time with, that in effect that there's a joy in being yourself with friends. You don't have to be guarded. You don't have to worry that someone's going to think that you said something is politically incorrect. Also love. the unconditional excitement of feeling so in harmony with another human being that you just can't wait to share another moment with him. Also, enjoying yourself, your pets, your companion pets, and knowing that no matter how old you get, you're not irrelevant. Now, that's what I found all over the world. So when they did not have a perfect diet, or they might have smoked a lot, or they weren't exercising as they should have, they still were living longer and healthier than Americans. So clearly, if we were doing everything we were supposed to do and we weren't living long, and others were doing less than what we do, but they were living long, what was the key? The key was this quality of life issue, how we look at ourselves. We're living with fear, anxiety, and depression constantly in our society because what is impermanent scares us. What we can't control frustrates us. If we don't understand something, more likely than not, we maladapt to what we don't understand. And if we've been conditioned from families that may have neglected or abused us in some level, we hold that as trauma into ourselves and become epigenetically programmed to almost dysfunction. So that was the formula. It was not complicated. So if you eat right and you take your time with life, you slow down, slow foods, slow love, and you exercise, but then you have a grounding in who you are and the quality of your family and friends, then there's no reason that you shouldn't be able to live to about 110 in ideal health. Now, there is no disease that's normal to the aging process, but aging in and of itself is normal. It's just slowing it down instead of speeding it up. That's the formula. So when you follow that formula, and you can change it and vary it depending upon your tastes and how you want to prepare foods and the exercise you want to do and the kind of friendships you want to have and the kind of career you want to do, watch everything in your life change for the better. Back in a moment. We begin talking about the exposure to pesticides linked to an increased risk of autism spectrum disorder. This is from the University of California. Listen carefully, please. Exposure to common agricultural pesticides before birth in the first year of life and in the first year of life is associated with a increase in the risk of autism spectrum disorder. That's compared with infants of women who had no exposure to the pesticides. This was published in the British Medical Journal, and it was just published this morning. So pesticides once again, yet people will be right out there and spraying pesticides. The omega-3 intake is associated with decreased asthma symptoms. This is from James Cook University, which is in Australia. And so what they did is this was published in the International Journal of Environmental Research and Public Health, reveals that the more omega-3 fatty acids and the lower risk of asthma. So if we have a lot of asthma, and we do, in no small measure because of vaccines, then the omega-3 fatty acids can help. Also, an active substance from plants slows down the aggressive eye cancer. University of Bonn, which is in Germany. And what they found is that an active substance that has been known for 30 years could turn into a ray of hope against eye tumors. And this is shown by a study conducted by researchers at the University of Bonn and also some U.S. colleagues. And the results are published in the renowned journal Science Signaling. And the plant leaves of which contain the substance is not rare. It's a common decoration. And it's the coraberry, C-O-R-A-B-E-R-R-A, and that's where they get it. And it blooms as kind of bright red fruits, and it's used as an ornamental plant. But it has these qualities in it, and that's good. Also from the University of Sussex, depression in 20-year-olds is linked to memory loss in your 50s. This is a new large-scale longitudinal study carried out by University of Sussex psychologists have found a clear link between episodes of depression and anxiety experienced by adults in their 20s and 30s and 40s. So when you get in, and this was published in the British Journal of Psychiatry, so when you're depressed and you don't get yourself out of that depression earlier in life, in your 20s and 30s, you will suffer substantial health problems later in life. So are there ways of getting out of depression? Yes, there are. I'm going to be doing a whole webinar just on overcoming depression and anxiety in the next month in all natural ways. And there's no drug that can do that for you. Also, drinking hot tea is linked with elevated risk of esophageal cancer. This is from the American Cancer Society, and previous studies have revealed a link between hot tea and the risk of esophageal cancer. But until now, no study has examined this association using real objective measures for the drinking temperature. This was published in the Journal of Cancer, and it looked at 50,000 individuals for 10 years to come up with the recommendation. And so what we have is we just have people drinking their liquids too hot. Drink it more at room temperature to protect your throat. And also the effect of fasting or caloric restriction on autophagy induction. This is from Mashhad University in Iran. So what it means is something I've been talking about for a long time. Autophagy, which is the lysosomal degradation process and protective house cleaning mechanisms to eliminate damaged organelles and long-lived misfolded proteins and invading pathogens. It's a way of cleaning out the debris out of your brain and your body. And autophagy functions to recycle building blocks and energy for cellular renovation and homeostasis, allowing your cells to adapt to stress. So when you are engaged in healthy autophagy, you are in effect cleansing the body, allowing it to detoxify, so that also helps with metabolic syndrome and neurodegeneration diseases and cancers and infectious diseases. So that's one of the reasons when you limit your calories and you go to a plant-based diet, your cells are going to live longer, and those that have died or become abnormal can be cleaned out of the body in a healthy way. And also, brain calcium controls how we sleep. Now, this University of Tokyo, and we know calcium is good for our bones and muscle contraction, but it also is a key to a good night's sleep. Researchers at the Quantitative Biology Center and the University of Tokyo in Japan have unveiled a new theory on how sleep works. They published this in the journal Neuron, and the work shows how sleep depends on activity of calcium inside neurons. So the bottom line is, if we have a good amount of calcium, the amount our body needs in our system, we're going to get a better night's sleep. But a lot of people are calcium deficient, and that's not good. So good night's sleep, make sure you're getting your calcium. The University of Amsterdam, a new study supports the link between omega-3 fatty acids and reduction in depression. So if you want to be less depressed, then make sure you're getting your omega-3 fatty acids, because the EPA, the DHA, you can get them from fish, but you can also get them from vegan sources as well. And this was looking at 13 separate studies to show that this actually works. So DHA, a major benefit to the body. And pesticide residues are now found in 70% of produce sold in the United States. Even after washing strawberries and spinach and kale, it's still there. So that's one of the reasons we should go towards organic produce and even hydroponics that don't have to use any pesticides because there's no pest. And I believe that the future will be new systems in hydroponics. So that's the latest on health and healing. And also the president of Brazil just came up to meet. Interesting, one fascist meeting another. Wow. And here's the outline. He is going to privatize all of the rainforest he can in Brazil. That's the lungs of the entire planet. He wants to get as much money into his corrupt little regime as possible, don't they all? And he's willing to sacrifice the Amazon and all of its indigenous people to do so. Any protest? None whatsoever. Not in our country. People are just happy to be a part of that privatization effort. But the side effect, well, that could lead to a local temperature increase up to 1.5 degrees Celsius. That would mean that we would be in, we'd be in a completely dangerous position as far as global warming. Because when the Brazilian rainforest goes, so goes the entire world's ecosystems. And not a single moment of thinking deeply on this topic. I'm Gary Knoll. That's the latest on health and healing. We're going to take a break and come right back, and we'll go right into some of your calls. Please stay with us.
Hi, this question is for Gary Knoll. Gary, I was wondering if you would weigh in on the infrared saunas that are very popular now, and you know, if you believe them, and if you could just tell us a little bit about their health benefits.
Sure. I'm a big supporter of infrared saunas. I have one myself in my home down in Florida, and I use it. Why? We have to understand, before we had light therapy saunas, the ancient Chinese and Turkish and Eastern European, Chinese and Native Americans all used heat and steam or air baths, what they were called, to reduce stress and relax and detoxify by sweating. Now, you've got several types here. You've got the near infrared. That's the shortest wavelength that absorbs just below the skin surface. Then you've got the mid-infrared that has a longer wavelength that penetrates deeper into soft tissue and increases circulation by releasing oxygen and aids in wound and injury healing. And then you've got the best, the far infrared. That's the longest wavelength. And it penetrates into fat cells, causing vasodilation, and helps to release toxins and stimulate metabolism. And this has been well studied. The Mayo Clinic did a study on these light waves going into the body and what they're capable of doing, of altering cell and cell membranes, and it's very good. There are many things that could come if you're taking in an infrared sauna, and generally for 20 minutes. And what happens is that you're getting full spectrum. That means the entire infra spectrum, near, mid, and far, and that raises the body core temperature faster and offers more benefits, and you can increase detoxification, you can reduce pain reduction, you can also have better joint and muscle support and reverse a lot of chronic pain with no side effects, and you can improve cardiovascular function, normalizing blood pressure and cholesterol levels and treating congestive heart failure. You can lower the side effects of type 2 diabetes, and you can produce some clarity of mind and feeling, because when you get out of a sauna, you feel good about it. And relaxation by triggering the body's parasympathetic nervous system. And it also decreases chronic fatigue. So those are just some of the things that a sauna can do. We'll take one more call.
Hi, Gary. This is Christy, your long-term listener. First of all, thank you so much for all the great work you're doing. And I'm calling in behalf of my sister who has rheumatoid arthritis, and was wondering what can one do to cure from it.
Several things you can do to improve a rheumatoid inflammation, and that's really what it is. It's an inflammatory process. First, start with a diet. You don't want to have all these cytokines, which are inflammatory molecules in the body going off every time you eat. But if you eat bread and French fries and pizzas and meat and dairy and sugar, that's exactly what is going to happen. So a person feels okay until they eat, then suddenly they get the pain. And if they eat something we're allergic to in the evening causing inflammation, they feel the pain as they awaken the next morning. So a healthy plant-based diet is where you start. Then you detoxify to turn off the inflammatory cytokines. And that would mean lots of quercetin, vitamin C, flaxseed oil, coconut oil, these are all anti-inflammatory, and black cumin seed oil, all diluted into a larger, let's say, glass, 16-ounce glass of juice. And then chondroitin sulfate, glucosamine sulfate, sea cucumber, and MSM are good as well. So those things all help. And the good way to start to get your sister's attention is to start by having her take 2 ounces of emulsified cod liver oil on an empty stomach in the morning. And within a week, she should start to see a difference in pain and inflammatory response. Alcohol is a no-no in any amount from any source. All right? And soft drinks, no sugar, etc. Then you should start to see a big difference. Before we go to your calls, and I'm looking here if we've got any of your calls coming in that you'd like to address any of the multiple issues that I gave earlier in the day, our talkback number is 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. These are outrageous things that we are having done to us by people that should have no right to do this, but we've given them the right. We have militarized everything. We've weaponized everything. We have allowed ourselves to become subjugated at every level, and that is not right. It was Robert F. Kennedy who said, every time we turn our heads the other way, when we see the law flouted, when we tolerate what we know to be wrong, we close our eyes and ears to the corrupt because we are too busy or frightened to speak up or speak out. We strike a blow against freedom and decency and justice. And that was Robert F. Kennedy, but I want to share a few more because sometimes we're motivated when we hear a statement just rings true, no matter who's saying it. Now, this one is by Joseph Goebbels, Hitler's propaganda minister, and he said, if you tell a lie big enough and keep it repeating, people will eventually come to believe it. The lie can be maintained only for such time as the state or the corporation can shield the people from the political, economic, or military consequences of the lie. It thus becomes vitally important for the state or the corporation to use all of its powers to repress dissent, for the truth is the mortal enemy of the lie, and thus, by extension, the truth is the greatest enemy of the state or corporation. Yeah, he was the ultimate Nazi, and he just laid out, like Edward Bernays, the father of propaganda that Joseph Goebbels learned from, how we end up becoming a nation of sheep. Dresden James says, when a well-packaged web of lies has been sold gradually to the masses, the truth will seem utterly preposterous, and its speaker a raving lunatic. And think of what Jimmy Wells of Wikipedia is calling all of the people involved in alternative healing, you know, lunatic charlatans. So look at people who use that word, lunatic, and then look at the people they're calling lunatics, people that challenge the efficacy and safety of vaccines because their own children were injured or died. Those are not lunatics. Those are conscientious citizens who are challenging the lies. And the only response of corporations, so they don't have to change their profit machine, is to attack them. But it was George Orwell who made one of the most interesting comments. He said, in a time of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. But he also said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And then someone who I knew and befriended, Judu Krishnamurti, the Indian philosopher, said it is no measure of health to be well-adjusted to a profoundly sick society. So that's a lesson for those who think, well, I'm okay, but the corporation you work for, all those on Wall Street and all those in Washington, they're not. You're working there is supporting them. Well, I didn't do anything. Yes, you did. That's not the only job in the world. There are ethical jobs with ethical people. Why don't you try something called ethical? And I'll end with an anonymous. I don't know who said this, but it was, slavery is the legal fiction that a person is property. Corporate personhood is the legal fiction that property is a person. And that's from Citizens United, that corporations are just people. No, they're not. Not at all. Also, one last one, because one of my favorite writers is Upton St. Clair, and he said, it is difficult to get a man or a profession or a corporation or a politician to understand or act upon something when their salary and job security depends upon it, his not understanding it. Oh, yeah, I agree with that. And I'm told that we have a caller on, Kevin. Hi, Kevin from New York. Your turn.
Hi, Gary. How are you?
Good.
So I've been very concerned lately. The more that we hear about how many heavy metal particles we're exposed to, you know, from the aluminum in our vaccines to the aerosol program that you've had Dane Wigington on your show to talk about, the aluminum as well as barium, strontium, I think lithium. And I'm wondering if you share my concern that these particles could have an extremely dangerous effect when combined with the 5G radiation. You know, when you think about when aluminum goes in a microwave, you know, it's a horrific thing to imagine. But,
okay,
you know.
Kevin, separate. You've conflated two issues. Separate them for a moment. Yes, I had Dean Whittington on the program to talk about aerosol sprays that have been going on for decades and how they're not legitimate, and how the barium and all the other aluminum sulfate and all the other chemicals never go away. They're there forever. They're in our air, they're in our soil, the water, and then they get brought into the root system of vegetables and can end up there. That's a danger unto itself. Now, G5 radiation, which is a shortwave radiation, and hence they have to put their towers or transmitters about 500 feet apart, which means for a city like New York, you'd have to have 100,000 of these, means that every square inch of the city, you're going to be irradiated nonstop. Now, if the people don't mind that, then that's their choice. If the people are indifferent to it because of intentional neglect, that's their choice. If a people don't care about it because their career becomes more important, lawyers, doctors, engineers, and plumbers, mechanics, that's their choice. But remember, the fact that you exercise freedom of choice doesn't mean that you are wise enough or educated enough about the choice's outcome to have a positive outcome from your choice. So shouldn't we all stop for a moment and be reasonable and responsible and ask, what is the likely outcome of this choice manifesting in something that either benefits me on all levels or harms me on any level? And we're not doing that. We're not there yet. We're not in enough pain to change. And until we get in that kind of pain, we won't change. In Missouri, over 76 cities in Missouri were required disaster relief. They're a total disaster. It'll never be the same, and this is the new norm. All flooding, farmers, their whole crops destroyed. Everything is destroyed. It'll grow back. They'll be coming back, but an awful lot of farmers now are out of business. Did they anticipate it? They should have, but they didn't. Or they were in a position where they felt they couldn't. There's a time in life where if we're not willing to change in a reasonable amount of time from the chapter we're in because we're at the end of that chapter, then we're going to suffer consequence. And that's just one wake-up call. So you are aware of the problem. I'm aware of it. Many of the people listening are aware of it. So I'll move, trust me, I'll move out of the city before I allow myself to be exposed to G5. But what about your career and what about the, I don't give a damn about anything except staying alive and staying relevant to what is important in my mission in life. But I can do that in a lot of places, including places that are not polluted, either with toxic politics or toxic people, or indifferent to the real needs of life. So you see, don't complain about something unless you're willing to sacrifice, including sacrifice moving, to get out of that area. Good question, though. Thank you for calling. We also have on the line right now a woman. Oh, I see, who came from, what is the woman's name? Isil. We have Isil on the line. Hi, Isil, your turn.
Hi, Gary. I'm calling in about two different things. One is my 14-year-old son walked into the bathroom while at school on Tuesday. There was a young gentleman there, and he was unlacing his shoe. And my son asked him what was going on, and the boy said, oh, nothing. So my son proceeded to do his business, comes back out, and this boy threw his shoestring above the bathroom stall and lays a letter down on the floor. My son grabs the shoelace, goes, no, this isn't the choice that you want to make because there's no coming back from this choice. We need to go get you some help. Let's go to a teacher. The principal called me to inform me of my son's bravery in helping this child out of not making the ultimate choice. That's one.
Good for your son to help another classmate not commit suicide. Your son should be commended.
He's a Boy Scout, and his goal is to become an Eagle Scout. But he has watched Taming the Beast Within with me, so I think maybe that had a little influence on him. I wanted to let you...
Taming the Beast, you mean my DVD Anger, Taming the Beast Within?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And my children, when they're home off of school during the weekdays, if they know it's noontime, they let me know that it's Gary time.
Good. Thank you. You said you had a second thing. What is the second thing?
My second thing is that I live on a dead-end block, and there's only four houses on my block, and we all agreed not to take in the smart meter. And since my whole block doesn't agree to not put the smart meters on our home, more than most likely we're not going to get charged the additional charges for not having the smart meter on our phone or on our house.
Good for you. So did they come to put a smart meter on your home?
They came to the door, and I let the gentleman know because I came back into the neighborhood dropping my last child off, and I let the gentleman know that we all agreed that we're not going to put a smart meter on our homes back here. And he goes, well, I need to hear that from all the homeowners. I said, go ahead, because we're all going to tell you we don't want them on our homes.
That is good. I'm glad that you are intentionally educating yourself about what your neighborhood needs, because I've done many programs on the dangers of smart meters, and you have the right to reject them, and I'm glad that you rejected it. Also, I have a lot of other calls, but I just want to end this. This is a woman who was dying and was diagnosed with end-stage cancer on three separate occasions and then underwent my protocol, and Luann guided her. What is your status today?
My status today is I'm cancer-free. I came to three of the retreats. I want to thank you and Luann for helping me save my life and coming to the realization of there's a better way of healing yourself other than this conventional so-called medicine.
Good for you.
I weighed 87 pounds when I came to the first retreat. I was basically whittling away, and I weigh 114 now.
Hello?
One of my doctors. You there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, every last one of my doctors that I see, from an oncologist to surgeons to your MD, all of them are amazed at the turnaround that has happened.
Well, that's good. Good for you and good for your son. I'm glad to hear that he interceded. All the best.
Thank you, Gary.
And also, a lot of people will make every excuse in the world to postpone what's important for them, always putting everyone else ahead of them, everyone else's needs. I can't do this, I can't do that. And isn't it time we just stop for a moment and realize we deserve health and happiness? We deserve to be living a longer and more vital life. We deserve the freedom to express ourselves and to see the joy in life, not just this crisis. So I go into this in great depth. I do dozens of lectures when I'm at these retreats all day, different mini lectures and then a major lecture at night. We'll also be premiering down there my new environmental film. It'll be ready at that time. Before we premiere it in New York, you'll have a chance to see the most important, comprehensive film ever done on the environment, the world we live in. And it's 7 years, and it's now done. One more trip to Australia, and one more person, and it's all over and finished. And also, just as an aside, I'm looking to hire 2 people full-time at a nice wage and benefits in my office in New York. I'm looking to hire a bookkeeper. You must be experienced in bookkeeping. And I'm looking to hire an office manager. You must have experience as an office manager, being able to help work with people. We have many different departments, film, investigative reporting, and being able to see what they need and facilitate that and to see that they're doing the work and doing it correctly. Because when I'm out on the road, I have to know that everyone's doing their work and it's getting done properly. So an office manager. And Luann will be interviewing for both positions, meaning she will take you because she knows what's necessary in an office manager and in a bookkeeper. Call Luann for these 2 jobs at 903-881-7008. We have another caller up now. And let's go to the call and see who it is. Hi, I don't have your name in front of me. You'll have to give me your name, please. Harvey from Berkeley, I'm told. Hi, Harvey.
Hi, Gary. Well, with climate disasters like bigger and bigger hurricanes, increased tornadoes, droughts like the Colorado River that you mentioned, and flooding in Nebraska, 74 cities underwater, the insurance company payouts must be beyond belief. And why doesn't the insurance industry stop insuring the fossil fuel industry, whose environmental disasters are bankrupting their business?
I would ask a question before that. And the question I would ask is, how much of the average person's damage does an insurance company cover? And it depends upon the insurance company. But in Florida, my animal sanctuary was substantially damaged, though it's all being recovered now, put back normal. But they only want to give me 3%. 3%. I was supposed to eat 97% of the loss. I sued, and now I'm getting a full recovery. And so, but it took 15 months because they were resistant to paying me. A lot of people got no coverage back. They would have certain clauses. Well, you had hurricane damage, you're claiming, but it was actually flooding damage, and you're not covered for flood insurance. And the flood is when the hurricane rips off the roof and the rain comes through. The rain is doing the damage. It's soaking everything. And yet one they will cover and another they won't. So it depends upon the policies. But more and more, you're going to see people who are living in vulnerable, non-sustainable areas where they're not going to have any coverage at all. So we've got a major mass problem there. And to answer your specific question, because the fossil fuel industries has a false value. It values the asset that is not yet exploited, meaning oil that and leases that it has, and gas and leases that it has, but it has not yet extracted that from the ground. Ideally, they would leave that energy in the ground that would help with global warming. But they also then take that as a part of the asset value. Then they get loans against that asset value, and they can pay very high premiums. So they have deep pockets into the tens of billions of dollars. So they're not like the average person. Thank you very much, Harvey from Berkeley, for asking that question. Let's see if we have any more questions. Be happy to address. I want to share a few more thoughts from people who've made statements addressing all of our grievances and problems. And this is an anonymous, but it's important. It says the economic system in the United States is not capitalism, rather it is corporate fascism, individualism and money worship, not capitalism. I would agree with that. Also, we have this quote from Kohler, Urban Kohler. Globalization is but another name for colonization. Nothing has changed but the name. And just as the East Indian Company was the instrument for colonization, today's corporation is the instrument for globalization. And the corporatization is but another name for fascism. I agree with that. Our citizens should know the urgent facts, but they don't because our media serves imperial, not popular interest. They lie, they deceive, they connive, and they suppress what everyone needs to know, substituting managed news, misinformation, and rubbish for hard truths. Oliver Stone. Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. George Santayana. So those are a couple. I'll give you one more. We are living in a system that is rigged to benefit special interests and billionaires, all at the expense of working people. Lily Garcia. I want to thank you all for listening and sharing your time here. My job is to bring us an awareness of what solutions exist, but you can't have a solution if you're not aware of the problem. We like solutions, providing it doesn't require us to personally change, and we don't like the problems being explored in too depth. It sears our consciousness. It makes us feel uncomfortable, and we frequently turn away. And yet this is a time when we should stay fast on looking exactly at the problem, who created it, how it manifests, what role we played in it, and how we can stop. And for every one of you who become vegans, good for you. You're part of the solution now. And for those of you who are no longer buying stuff you don't need, you're part of the solution. For those of you who are not buying homes, good, good, good for you. And you're part of the solution. For those of you who are challenging inequality in any form through writing letters or protesting in some way, you're part of the solution. For those of you who are looking to move out of the major cities that are controlled by the corporatists, good for you. Reinvest your energy in sustainable communities, in intentional communities, in the country. We have a beautiful country with lots of wonderful human beings, and it's time that we begin to work cooperatively together. The we are much more dynamic at solving problems than me. I'm Gary Knoll. Thank you for listening, and have a nice day.